Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, good evening. Welcome to the 2018 Ordination Preparation Training. Today is June 7th, and if we could get started with prayer, I'm going to currently start putting everyone on speaker. I apologize for the technical delay of things. We seem to be unable to locate my phone, though I hear it ringing. So we are currently putting everyone on speaker so that one of the men of God on the line can open us up in prayer. If you do not hear yourself speaking, I need you to actually text me, but I don't have my phone. Yeah, so just text me again.
So, Father in heaven, we thank you for another day. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Father in heaven, we thank you for another awesome day. Your word declares that this is the day that you have made, and we rejoice and we are glad in it. We thank you for this opportunity to gather together and to have our hearts and our ears open to the frequencies of heaven, that which you will download and speak to each person that will participate in this wonderful time. We thank you for what you will share. We pray that your will be done, that we will experience you in this hour, and that our lives will be changed and transformed as we continue to yield to the process in which you have set before us. Make every cookie happen great. We pray that all things come in divine alignment. We pray that all technical difficulties will line up, and that as we enjoy this time together, we will leave from moment change, transform, and challenge. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Prophet. Amen. So we have our presentations for today. So those that are on the line that are due to make your presentation, if you would just take over. From this point, okay, we should have someone that's
Hello?
Yes.
Hello? Okay, this is Davina, candidate.
Yes.
And, Elder April is going to start us off.
Amen.
Good evening, everyone. I am Elder April Young, and my candidate is Davina Anderson, who is being ordained into the office of Evangelist Counselor. And so on this evening, we were given the topic of worthy coming from Genesis 28. And so I'm going to take a couple of minutes, just kind of give some, lay some foundation, so to speak, and then I'm going to turn the reins over to my candidate. I'm going to start with Romans, the 9th chapter, verses 10 through 23. And for the purpose of time, I'm not going to read it, but basically, that passage in Romans 9, it talks about the sovereignty of God and understanding that we will never be able to feel worthy when we look at ourselves and we recognize how wretched we really are in comparison to how holy God is. You know, we will never really feel worthy. And then it talks about, it uses the term vessels of honor, and that talks about a person who has submitted to God's purpose and to his word, and just being emptied of ourselves. I believe Acts talks about being a chosen vessel. which is basically a vessel in whom God has chosen from birth for a specific assignment in his kingdom. And so I believe that in this time, you know, the candidates have been chosen for this specific assignment in God's kingdom. And then there are several passages in this section talks about being worthy, walking worthy of God, walking worthy in our calling. And worthy simply means that we have to see ourselves through God's eyes and understand that we need to have a teachable heart and being willing to hear from him. And in order to hear him clearly, we have to be in a proper position. And that brings us to Genesis 28, where Jacob, you know, beginning at verse 11, basically, he had the dream while he was at Bethel. And so Jacob was basically in a position. He had basically just cheated on his brother. He was on the run. He was a fugitive. You know, he deceived his father. And here he finds himself where God was honoring him. You know, Jacob didn't deserve anything but God's wrath, but yet God was honoring him. You know, and this decision was made prior to his birth. And it says in the 11th verse, he came to a certain place. And so I believe that God had Jacob just where he needed him to be, you know, in a natural, in his natural state of sleep on the ground, minding his own business. And that is at that time where God spoke to him and made a promise to him. And he promised to protect him and be with him. And that reminds me of how in the 91st Psalm, you know, he gives his angels charge over us, meaning that he sends his angels to protect us and keep us. And then, you know, Jacob, he realized that around the 16th, 17th verse that that God was in this place. He not only experienced the house of God, but also the gate of heaven. And I think that's significant because the gate of heaven speaks to, you know, Jacob receiving a revelation, an impartation, and understanding that every time God gives us a dream, I believe it's an opportunity for us to begin to shift into our destiny, into a place that God has for us. And this was a monumental experience for him. And so, of course, he built a monument. He built an altar, a pillar, you know, to God. And I just believe that even in this season, as we begin to properly position ourselves, that, you know, that even this season, God is moving in monumental ways. But we have a responsibility to cooperate. We have a responsibility to obey him and to act upon what we hear. And so Jacob names that place Bethel, or house of God, which is interesting because that is the very same place in the 12th chapter of Genesis where God had met Abraham and made a covenant promise with him. And here, you know, God is making a covenant promise with, you know, Abraham's seed. You know, he made it with Isaac, and now he's making it with Jacob. Which brings me to the 32nd chapter of Genesis, where about the 10th verse, you know, Jacob says, you know, I'm not worthy of the least of your mercies. And so Jacob, at that point, he realized that he was in a vulnerable position. He realized he could not do anything on his own. Once again, he's running. He's a fugitive. You know, and that's what many of us do. We run when we know that there's a calling upon our lives. But understanding also that's what the enemy wants you to do. The enemy is always going to try to intimidate you, manipulate you, and get you to run and let go of God, the future that God has for you. And I just, you know, I'm not going to get too much into the 32nd chapter, which basically talks about, you know, his resting process, but understanding that God is always going, he's never going to stop pursuing us, but because he wants us to see ourselves as he sees us. And so, you know, he brought Jacob again to a place in this Trans-Jordan area, Jordan meaning descending or flowing down. And so I believe that, you know, he put Jacob in a place where he could receive a download of his glory, a download of his blessing. And I believe that God is positioning us as well for us to be an outflow of his mercy and his goodness. And then, you know, we know in this passage where the angel, he touched Jacob in the thigh, the hollow place of the thigh, I think the King James says, the hollow place, an empty place, and the thigh representing a place of reproduction and fruitfulness. And so God chose to touch Jacob in an unfruitful area and directly confront an area in his life which was barren. And so even with our faults, you know, God sees us as worthy. He sees our future. He sees our potential. He knows what he's deposited in us. But we have to come to the end of ourselves. We cannot have confidence in our flesh because we know that in our flesh nothing good dwells. You know, in this passage, you know, Jacob asked the angel what the angel's name is. The angel says, basically, you don't need to have any more revelation to my character, but what you need to understand is who you are called to be. And so Jacob had to realize, he had to confess his old nature. In other words, he had to come out of agreement with the Jacob and begin to speak his best and speak that he was Israel, you know, because the new name speaks to a new authority, a new mantle that was being placed upon him. And so we need to follow the relationship with who we were and begin to embrace the identity of who we are, because, again, being worthy means that we begin to see ourselves through God's eyes. And so at this point, I'm going to give the baton to my candidate, Davina Anderson.
Hello, everyone. I'm candidate Davina Anderson. Am I coming across clearly? Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes. I hear you.
You can? Okay. So as Elder April just said, we were given worthy with the reference scriptures of Genesis 28, verses 12 through 22. The word worthy means to have merit, to have a value. So early on in Genesis, we see Jacob as a deceiver. He, along with his mom, participated in tricking his father Isaac into believing he was his brother Esau, thereby taking his brother's blessing. Jacob, because of these actions, was sent away because he had committed a wrong. But despite all of this, God chose him, counted him worthy to carry on with the same blessings he gave to Abraham, Genesis 12, 1 through 3, when he said, I will make thee a great nation. Thy name shall be great. And even Isaac in Genesis 26, 23 to 24, fear not, for I am with thee, and I will multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Can we see ourselves as we are embarking on this journey of elevation? Can we see our stuff? Can we see our faults? Yet God has found us worthy. God's plans are not dependent on our behavior. None of us deserve to represent God in any of the ways that he asks us to. Human imperfections allow God to perfect in us his amazing work. God never loses any of our past for his future. When we surrender ourselves to him, every mistake, every sin, and every detour in this journey becomes his gift for a future of blessing. That's a quote from Emotionally Healthy Spirituality by Peter Cazero. In Genesis 28, 12 to 22, we see Jacob embarking on a journey to find his wife in a different land. Jacob is on his way to Bethel. Bethel, formerly known as Luz, was one of the first places in the Bible where the Hebrew people met God. And, of course, one of the most famous of these encounters was Jacob's dream of a staircase or a ladder going to heaven. Because of this encounter and others, it's our first beginnings of knowledge and understanding about God, heaven, and spiritual truth. God will reveal himself to us when and how he wants to. The original Hebrew defines Bethel as house of God. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. All of the terrain between Beersheba and Bethel and Haran is rugged, dry, and hot. Sometimes God will allow a desert place in our lives so that we will seek him all the more. He is the living water, John 4, verses 4 through 26, a wellspring of life. He will meet us when we are tired, weary, and worn, Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give you rest. In this journey, how many dry and desert places have our hearts encountered? Bethel was a necessary stop as Jacob traveled. He has left Beersheba, the place of his family, and finds himself in a place of silence and solitude. Sometimes God leads us to places of silence and solitude to position us to hear from him. And as we are obedient to the call, what he has asked us to do, God sees us as worthy. Jacob is afraid as he runs from his brother Esau. God in his infinite wisdom allows Jacob to dream under his direction. Jacob dreams and behold a ladder at the top of which God stands. God has found Jacob worthy to experience the supernatural bridge between heaven and earth. John 1:51, ye shall see heaven open and their angels ascending and descending. An interpretation of the latter is Jesus Christ as the mediator for us with God. He reconciled us to God. And it was also during this dream that God restated to Jacob the blessings he spoke to Abraham and to Isaac. God can and will use whatever method he desires to get and hold our attention. While dreaming, Jacob sees angels ascending and descending on that ladder. They minister errands of mercy according to God's will. They are worthy to serve God as he commands. They are active in God's work as we too work, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Jacob has experienced a life-changing event that spoke directly to the Israel in him. However, as we see Jacob continue on his journey, it takes a long time for the Israel in him to emerge again, though he has been found worthy by God. God was with Jacob all the time, Matthew 28:20. God, in a sense, as Jacob continues on his journey, and the elevation process is transforming him into Israel, 2 Corinthians 3:6. He has made us able ministers. We too are being transformed into the image of Christ through this elevation process, Romans 8:29. We were predestined. God is purging us. You fill in the blank to bring out the Israel in each one of us. Ephesians 4:10-12 speaks to the perfecting process as God has called us for various offices to the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ, being made worthy and being worthy of the call, a walk worthy of high position, the call to ministry, and how to live a worthy life, a process of bringing out the Israel in us. When we are obedient to God, God sees us as worthy. We are valuable to God because of our salvation. We are saved and delivered by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are made worthy. 2 Thessalonians 1:11 gives further understanding and direction. It says, to this end also, we pray for you always that our God may count, may make you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power. Praying for each other that God would make us worthy of the calling and service to him, bringing out the Israel in each of us. The blood makes us worthy, as Jacob was counted worthy. In Colossians 1:9-10, a prayer to the Colossian Christians further confirms for us in this process that we ought to pray for each other that we may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding so that we may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. As Isaac prayed over Jacob as he sent him on his journey, that all the blessings and protections of God would be bestowed upon Jacob. Even as verse 12 states for us that God is making us worthy, he qualifies us to share, to take hold of our portion in the inheritance of the saints, the holy ones in light. God qualified Jacob at Bethel when he supernaturally opened the heavens to Jacob in a dream. Being found worthy means that the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable, Romans 11:29. Jacob encountered more trials and tribulations as part of the process of bringing out the Israel in him. God allowed him to experience what it felt like to be deceived as he dealt with his uncle Laban. God wants us to be fully equipped to serve him. He wants our Israels to be right and ready to serve him. As with Jacob, we are made worthy for God by God, even as the process may be a long and arduous one. This is our time at Bethel, a place where God is. Finally, 1 Thessalonians 1:3-4 says that we are called worthy by God. We constantly bear in mind our work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness, perseverance of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of our God and Father, knowing, brethren, beloved by God, his choice election of you. As Jacob toiled under the seat of his uncle, he prayed often for direction, as we should pray during this process of elevation. Psalm 73:28 says, it is good for us to draw near to God. We put our trust in the Lord God that we may desire all his works. God continually sends events, circumstances, people, and even books into our lives to keep us moving forward on our journey. He is determined to complete the work he began in us, whether we like it or not. And that's another quote from Peter Gazzero's Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. That's it. Hello? Hello?
Amen.
Wonderful.
Amen.
Wonderful. Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much. So thoroughly presented. We do appreciate you. That is a wonderful. Do we have any questions for Sister Davina? Anybody on the line with any questions as she brought her presentation?
No
Bishop?
Question. Hello?
Prophet? Yes. Hello, Pastor
Davina. Hi, this is Pastor Ford. Hi. I want to come in. I think it was excellent. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Wonderful.
Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Any more comments? Encourage your fellow candidates.
Hi, this
you
is
may
Tanisha.
Be
that was absolutely wonderful. I thoroughly enjoyed it as well. It was very thorough.
Thank you.
And well thought out, and that was great.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Now, my question for you.
Very informative.
Hello?
Hello, yes?
Yes. We are going to start.
I just said very informative. Thank you.
Amen. 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 We are going to start asking questions, so we want you to get comfortable with this kind of dialoguing and just flow into the answers of the questions that may be presented to you. So I will start with asking you a question. As you went forth in analyzing this particular part of the prophetic call and word for you in this season, yours was walking, is that correct? Yes.
Yes, walk out.
Worthy. It was worthy.
Worthy. It was worthy.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Do you see in your process, where did you wrestle before you got to worthy or after you got to worthy? Where was your wrestling?
Well, it's interesting that you should ask that because I do remember having a conversation with my accountability partner. And that was what I had chosen to present. And we had talked about that. It's just really actually wrestling with literally being seen as worthy. And it wasn't until I embarked upon the material to get ready for this that I began to say that I will never see myself as worthy, even as my elder April talked about being unworthy. Oh, that would be me a lot of times at the beginning of this process. But I thank God for my elder April, as she talked me off the ledge many times. But I wrestled with really me, God, when you know all my, really me. So finally, after all of these years, to get to a point where I could understand and say, yes, you, because God said so. With all your stuff, with all your everything, yes, you. So,
okay.
I hope I answered your question.
Yes, you did. Very well. So now my next question is going to be, what has God called you to in this season? These are one of the, some of your questions. So as we look at the prophetic word, we need to look at it as it relates to the process that we're in based on the call that is on our life, His calling you and what your ministry will look like. So how do you view it in light of that?
Early on, when I was going through the process of answering those questions about my mission, the vision, and it took me some time to get my mind right about that. But I shared with Elder April, one day I was on my way to work and I had my radio on and I heard this song. And it's really, it was a song being sang to jazz music. But the gist of the song was called The Alley. And basically it's this gentleman singing about how we prepare our streets in gold and we prepare for the coming of the Lord. We do all those things, the glitz, the glamour. And when he comes, he says, take me to the alley. Take me for those to those who are disenfranchised, those who are lonely, those who are forgotten about. Now, when I thought about the alley, I'm like, Lord, in my flesh, do I even have the courage? Or do I want this to be such a pretty walk that I don't, you know, mess up myself? You understand what I'm saying? But when I heard that song, that's all I could see and understand was take me to the alley. Take me to the ones who have been forgotten about, the ones who are the downtrodden, the ones who don't even get to see the glitz and the glamour. Now, for me, again, I'm like, Lord, come on, let's have a combo. Is this really what you're showing me? So that's being ready for him to send me to the alley, whatever that alley looks like for those who are discouraged and downtrodden and the forgotten ones.
Amen. Amen. All right. Now, our other presenters, I don't believe, are on the line, that having both of them experiencing family emergencies. But we did say we would share as it relates to your gifts and the classifications that was sent in the email by Elder Sherita. Elder Sherita, are you on the line? Can you be locating that email and giving us those classifications again so that we can then go down and give explanation to them? So as we're in our process, a lot of different things are emerging. And so as you see God bringing clarity and definition to your call, to an understanding of your gifts and your anointings, and the office that you're being elevated or ordained and licensed into, that you can start seeing yourself the way God has prepared you to be. And so as a result, the prescription for your process is developed out of many different categories and classifications. And so when Minister Elder Sherita is ready.
I'm here.
And she can, amen, amen. Do you have you located that, I know this is a minute, have you located that email?
Is it the one about group one, group two, that email
where you thoroughly and very well presented the different groups and indicating to them what was going to be required based on the classification that you have?
You mean you, as far as like what the requirements that are due for them for each
group?
Well,
like for group one, like group one,
yeah.
And then there's group 1M and group two, group 2E, that email. So we will just go down as she is locating that wonderful email. We will look at the gifts, I mean the offices, as it relates to the training for them, okay? So there are different set of requirements based on the individual that is in the process. And so all of our group one individuals are individuals that this is their first time going through AEN LSC program for elevation. This is the first time that they're in it. A lot of them are coming for the first time from non-titled offices. So we have like Sister Dana and Sister Tamika, Sister Cynthia, Brenham, Sister Brenda, Lady Winslow. Just non, they are members of the body. They did have no particular title, and yet their leader saw something in them that God was bringing out of them. And therefore they have been put as a part of this season of elevation. And so they're group one. The group one is getting a basic foundation, and they are first time, and they are required to fulfill Defend Your Faith. The Defend Your Faith is a group of questions that you answer, not really in one word or one sentence type answers, but it is getting a foundation of some biblical landmarks, getting you to get an understanding, get familiar with them, get familiar with the language even of ministry and the different aspects of the gospel that need to be understood as leaders as you stand before people and lead people. So that those principles are become well established in you. And then there are those that are group one, but they are group one M. That means they're in a more advanced position because even though they have not had previous titles or offices, they have taken additional training and education in the biblical realm with CCTI, or they have produced other certificates of training and development that they've had through the years. And so as a result, the Defend Your Faith has already been established, so they are given the 300 theological questions. Those 300 theological questions come from 10 categories that we should be aware of their importance as we handle the gospel of Jesus Christ and prepare it to give it.
Okay,
to
Overseer, others. I do see email dated for February the 10th, but that's attention group 2M candidates for February
right.
the
no,
10th. That one went out.
That's not that one, because that one, this would have been last month, and it lists all of the candidates, all of the classifications. So it would have had the, like I say, group 2, group 1, group 1E, group 1M, group 2, group 2M, and so on and so forth.
Okay.
Okay. So looking at the group 1M that are required to do 300 of the theological questions, and these questions are from a base of 1,000 questions, and you get to pick the ones that you want to answer in this season. But as long as your affiliation continues with the AEN, which it should at least for the next 2 years, you are required each year to continue that list, and to each year do increments of 200 and submit them to the council. This is one of the ways that you keep your ordination and your certificate valid. And so that's the group 1M. They flow to the theological questions. Group 2 individuals have gone through this process before. They have been ordained. They're being elevated, basically. And as a result, they have been required to do as well the theological questions. Group 2, for the first time, they do 100 of the 1,000 theological questions. And going forward, they do increments of 200 until they've answered the 1,000 questions, which will provide you with an excellent reference document. So we have the group 2Es. Group 2Es are those that are emerging. They went through the process in the past, and they had further requirements that had to be met. And they are in the process of meeting those requirements. It also is a new category we came upon on last year to engage individuals in with special specialties. So some people are going for a specific type of pastor or elder or that sort of thing. And so the requirements for that look a little different, and it includes doing special projects. We have 4 people currently in this class that are required to do that. And Bishop, please just jump in if I'm leaving anything out. I know you're out there, and I have you off of speaker, so please.
Okay. No, you good.
Thank you, Bishop. They do have advanced Christian education certificates and degrees and that sort of thing. And, again, they have already been licensed and ordained. And then you have the group 2, I said E that are merging, then the group 2 that is the individuals who group 2 with M. And then they're required to do even more of the theological questions. And so that's part of that grouping. I know some people, when you got the email, they weren't sure. They said, well, I didn't get the theological question, and only because they were group 1. And so we just wanted to make sure we share with you what that grouping looks like. It is customized to meet the need of the candidate as well as the referring leader, the vision that that referring leader has for that individual. Our group 1s are, for me, they're precious to me, but you all are, they're just starting. And for a lot of them, what is your ministry? They don't know. You know, you're not sure what God has called you to. Sister Tamika, are you on the line? Going forward,
I'm here.
We're going to start.
I'm here.
Amen. We're going to start calling names. You're going to have to start sharing. So what was your first response when your leader is to let you know that you were going to be a part of this year ordination?
A bit of apprehension. It's kind of hard to articulate, but I have to put it into words. Some concern and apprehension. Kind of like a y'all sure kind of thing, you know. But eventually, it kind of got to the place where it's like, you know, you kind of know and you kind of feel the pulling and call of it. And I just wanted to be in a place where I was spiritually obedient. So it's kind of like I don't even necessarily know or see what the big picture is, but I'm just kind of like, for lack of a better phrase, not in a flippant way, but going along for the ride to see what is to become of it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let me ask you, when you did your personality and your gift assessment, did that give you any aha moment?
The personality assessment, I wasn't really surprised by that because I've done a few similar ones, including that one. And that result seems to always be or consistent over the last few years. The spiritual gift one, that one was interesting. I kind of was like, did I take this on a weird day? I saw quite a few unexpected results.
Okay.
And so that, again, is kind of part of just praying and seeking and waiting to see what becomes of that, because there are some results that I would have expected to be more dominant than they were, and ones that I expect to be more subversive than they were. But again, just looking to see what happens or how it develops, how I grow.
Amen. Amen. Sister Dana, are you available on the line? And Lady Winslow, you're next. And then
are you
Lady
saying
Sharon.
Davina? Overseer, did you say Davina?
No.
Okay.
No, but you can. I was saying Dana.
You said me.
Dana.
Okay, got you. Okay, thank you.
Oh, sure. Dana Hamilton. Okay. Lady Brenda Winslow.
Yes.
Oh, just out there. Yes.
I'm in here.
Amen. So, what ministry has God called you to?
Well, it's something that I've been in pretty much all my life, and it's a ministry with children.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't something that I was surprised, because, like I said, I've been doing this about half my life for like the last 35 years.
Uh-huh.
And
so what are you finding this process developing in you with something that you've been doing for 35 years?
So what am I finding that is developing in me?
Mm-hmm. Or being brought out at this time?
Definitely more patience.
Aha, okay. Okay.
And I thought I was patient, but I'm not. I'm finding that it's bringing more of it out in me. And is bringing out different things in me that I that I thought was conquered, but it's not.
Okay, all right. And Lady Sharon Jones.
Yes.
Good
Hi.
Evening. Hi.
What's the question? I'm sorry.
What is this process doing for you? And what has God called you to do?
Not having done this for 35 years, but God has called me to teacher. I don't know. I'm drawing a blank as to how many years ago, but at our old church, there was training, and it was something that me and a friend decided to do to be more useful in the church. And I found my niche. I thought I did not like education, but I would get down and dirty with the babies. I found it as a way of sharing. It wasn't like the person said before, it wasn't going in the alley, but changing diapers and trying to relate to a baby, I thought was key to be able to set a foundation to those who we think are not listening, the children. Children are always listening, whether they're in the womb or, you know, whether they're listening to other stuff. They're listening still to us, and they may not apply it, but just to be a seed planter so that when they grow old and when they stray and when they think about straying, I wanted to be a part of that. I found it kind of comfortable, but not so much comfortable that I could take them for granted and think that it was an easy thing. So teaching is my calling. This is expansion for me. I'm more of a background person. I'd almost rather be in the background. And, this has been shared with me for a couple of years to go through the ordination process. You already know that I've been running and hiding and dipping and dodging. But it has let me know, as the person, I didn't get their name for some reason, the person who did the presentation, that I am worthy. I'm really just putting a title to what I've been doing all along. It's honoring to know that someone else thinks that highly of me, or that the Lord, for sure thinks that highly of me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I believe that is like the especially for the group ones, that is the undercurrent of everything. It is something that's in you that others have seen and God has called to come forth in a way where he is elevating and honoring you in that title that you have been very faithful to, even when you didn't know what it was or you did know. And so I know one of the things for one of candidates here, Tamika, and in the area of a minister of a community education, something that is being defined in the things that God has called her to do and the places she finds herself in and the situations that it ends up being, and that is the definition of them in a way where God is honoring and elevating her with the authority, That's what happens when you're ordained. You would lay on hands, giving you spiritual authority in those areas to do those things that he's pulled out of you. And the things that he's pulled out of you, one of the things is what he has put in you. And we had looked at him, and Pastor Marlette is going to read one of, we'll just do one of them. The time is far spent, but just looking at the different gifts and calling. So when you filled out your gift assessment, you also had a page that you were supposed to populate as it relates to your motivational gifts, your manifestation gifts, and your ministry gifts. And it was put forth in these scriptures, these particular scriptures, the motivational gifts, those are the gifts of the Father put in you for your life purpose and what motivates your living. These are those things that you always had that kind of personality or character. These are the things that identify the character and the personality that you have, and they should most flow with your personality type. We have quite a few consoles. The type personality is console. And so if that is yours, we're going to go over that next week. And so you want to look up, you know, the thing that causes you to use your energy most in what area and how. Your not just your energy. The nature of your think, the way you think, why you think the way you think, you know, it all has a definition in your personality. And when you look at that, you can start to see how your life has always, was always being shaped by what God had put in you, if you will, in your DNA, what your energy is, what your nature, what is the kind of tactics you use going through life with life, activities and definition and your identity, the type of individual as turbulent or assertive and those things, and they actually have connections to the different offices and callings. So Pastor Marlette is going to read to us the gifts from the Father that are found in Romans 12, 3-8.
From the Passion Translation, says, God has given me grace to speak a warning about pride. I would ask each of you to empty yourself, empty self-emotion, promotion, and not create a false image of importance. Instead, honestly assess your worth by using your God-given faith standard of measurement, and then you will see the true value with an appropriate self-esteem. In the human body, there are many parts and organisms, each with a unique function. So it is in the body of Christ, for though we are many, we've all mingled into one body in Christ. This means that we are all vitally joined together, one another, each contributing to each other. God's marvelous grace imparts to each of us varying gifts and ministries that are uniquely ours. So if God is giving you the grace gift of prophecy, you must activate your gift by using the portion of faith you have to prophesy. If your grace gift is serving, then thrive in serving others well. If you have the grace gift of teaching, then be actively teaching and training others. If you have the grace gift of encouragement, then use it often to encourage others. If you have the grace gift of giving to meet the needs of others, you may prosper in your generosity without any fanfare. If you have the gift of leadership, be compassionate about your leadership. And if you have the gift of sowing compassion, then flourish in your cheerful display of compassion.
Amen. Amen. These are the gifts of the Father, and they're the gifts of the Father for everybody so that the world could be a place of so the world can be a functioning, civilized place, so that those gifts would flow from the different individuals meeting the needs of human beings. And so as a result, they're not necessarily the ones that you just do in church or in the kingdom or in the church environment. But these are the things you would do if that is who you are as a stockbroker or an accountant or a nurse or a doctor or a cashier or a clerk or a secretary, whoever you are, whatever it is in life pursuit that you are doing, these things should motivate you. And you will find this is true when you look at your personality assessment, the things that is your nature to do, the things that is your tactics, the way you do things. Some people do it as a leader. That's just who they are. It doesn't matter what it is. It just flows from them that way. And it causes others to be able to get into a structure to perform and to be successful in things. Everything needs a leader. Or you may be that person with the that compassion and that mercy. So that may be why you're in the field of nurse or working in with the disabled or those that are helpless. Those are even that in prison because you have that motivation of mercy in your life. And so we want to start looking at each area of gifting, the gifts from the Father, the gifts from the Holy Spirit, which are to manifest, the gifts of manifestation of those things that are spiritual, and then the gifts of the Son, which is to facilitate and equip the body of Christ. These are the things that they call the fivefold as well, these ministry gifts. And then there's the composite giftings that come out of 1 Corinthians. But study them and understand how the Lord has brought them to your understanding, to the forefront of your mind when you look at your life, when you look at the things that you've done and the places and the type of people that you've always been drawn to. One of the questions is, you know, do you gel with people? Do you give yourself over to them? And so in so many instances, you're supposed to give yourself over to people, but it's been distorted when it has not been perfected by the Word of God. And so though it is a good gift, those gifts can be distorted and bring injury and harm if they're not properly worked in and through Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And so we do want to just start turning our attention to that. Review your gifts, review your personality, and review what you are being called to. One of your questions is, what is your spiritual evidence of your calling? What does the Word say about a pastor? Not one verse or two verses, but what does the Bible, what does the Book of God say about pastor? Look it up and find what the personalities and the characteristics are of and for that particular office. And same as with a minister and with an evangelist and with a teacher. And, well, we do the apostles, they go in another place. So, right. So we do want to make sure we start to stretch ourselves in those areas. And if Minister Elder Sherita can let us know who is up for next week, if we pray that you realize when your week comes and you take it, because once it's passed, because we're on schedule, then you're going to have to do something different. You won't be presenting it on the phone. You're going to have to present a project. So if you miss your opportunity to share, then you're going to have to do an additional assignment. Minister Elder Sherita.
Yes, I'm here. Okay, so for next, the spiritual element presentations are coming from Sister Brenda Winslow and her accountability partner, Elder April Young. And it is on non-judgmental, coming from Matthew 7, 1 through 2. And then for the call speaking to Israel and Jacob presenters, the next ones are Pastor Deatra Ford and her accountability partner, Apostle Lisa Brown, and it is on walking, coming from Genesis 31 and 17.
Amen. Amen. Is there any housekeeping, Elder Sharita, that you need to share with the individuals? Are they all registered?
That's what I was going to say. I'm just encouraging everyone that if you haven't, those that haven't registered, to definitely register for the conference. It's going to be hosted again on Thursday, August 16th through Sunday, August 19th. It's going to be at the Hyatt Regency Schaumburg, 1800 East Gulf Road in Schaumburg, Illinois, 60173, and the conference cost is $70 per person, and then for the banquet tickets only, there are $40 per person. And if you haven't reserved your hotel room, if you can please do that now as well. You will need a credit card, but it will not be charged, and it is at $109 per night, which includes a hot buffet breakfast. And you can register for the conference on the Eventbrite website that is found in your email as well, and along with the reservation link. And that's all that I have.
Amen. Thank you so much, Elder Sharita. Amen.
You're welcome.
So are there any questions, comments, or concerns? Get your forms in for the accountability partner contact. Get your forms there if you have not done. Yes.
I have a question. On the
yes.
Thursday, when are we to arrive to begin? What time is the first session, or what time are we expected to arrive the Thursday of the conference?
8 o'clock. Their sessions will start at 9, but you should arrive at 8 o'clock to turn in your garments and that sort of thing. We'll get more detail of what you're going to do when you get there, but 8 o'clock Thursday will start the conference. A.M., 8 o'clock A.M. Good question. Any more questions?
Just for clarity's sake, the conference is 70. Does that include the banquet or no?
Yes, that includes the banquet.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Good questions. Any more questions? All right. So, Bishop, would you close us out, please? I hope I got you live. Okay. What? Elder Parker? Evangelist Parker, are you on the line?
Yes, ma'am, he is.
Okay.
Our Father, we come before you tonight in thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you tonight for what has been said, all that's been heard. Can we ask right now, God, that not only has been said and heard, but let us apply all that we know that's concerning the word. Father, we ask right now that you bless each and every candidate. God, we ask right now that you continue to have your way in their lives. And God, we thank you tonight for what's been said. And we ask right now, God, as the Spirit began to reveal into our lives, God, the thing that it would have us to. We pray that you continue to have your way in the very midst. And we just want to thank you for this day, Lord, that you have made, that we could receive the things that we have heard and we may apply to our hearts. God, not only apply it, but write it upon the tables of our heart, God, that we bring forth in the time of need. And we ask that you just continue to have your way in our lives. We ask that you bless each and every individual. God, bless them as they walk in their calling and whatsoever it may be. And we just want to say thank you tonight for all that you have done, all that you have been doing, all that you're going to do. In your Son's precious name we pray tonight. Amen, amen, and thank God.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And we're going to start making some assignments. Do we have Brother Antonio Miles on the phone? Emerging Pastor Melvin Abonte and Emerging Pastor Joseph Bibbins?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
Are you on the line?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, you guys will be in charge of our prayer on next week, opening and closing.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, all right. Thank you, gentlemen and ladies. Men and women of God, do be blessed. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.